Good afternoon, everybody. Certainly been good to be with you this morning. I was greatly encouraged to see my two former roommates up here this morning, two guys that have been really good for me over the last few years, and it's good to see one of them back amongst us. I'm really good to see Wade back, and it's nice to see things come full circle and look forward to work with you in the future. Myself this afternoon are based around a subject that I've given quite a bit of thought to over the past few weeks and months, and I hope that my thoughts this afternoon in some way, shape, or form may cause you to stop and think and recognize some of the things that might possibly be going on in your life, hopefully not. But I definitely hope that something I say here this afternoon you'll find edifying and will be able to take and apply it into your life at some point in time. It is no surprise, at least it should be any surprise, I can't imagine that it would be, that our society as a whole is what some would call a moral decline. Things were acceptable and often shunned and unspeakable 50, 20, even 10 years ago are seeming to become more and more commonplace, seemingly becoming more and more abundant. And most importantly, they became more and more prevalent, overlooked, obliged, and oftentimes even sponsored. Something I've seen over the past few years, and in particular over the past several months, is the ever-heightening level of poor language. I guess you could actually call it vulgar language that we're surrounded with every day. Seemingly useless language, language that really carries no value, language that really, when you step back and think about it, is improper communication. The interactions that I notice between people, both in person, my personal life and my professional life, seem to be getting worse as far as the tone and the attitude and just the verbiage that seems to be used. So I look back, and it's amazing to me, just in my short lifetime, coming up on 30, I'm not quite there yet like Brandon, but just in my short lifetime, I've seen and heard things on television that I thought that I would never see on television. Things that I couldn't even imagine 10, 15, 20 years ago would even be on television. And it's sad to hear these things. And it's just sad in general just to see how the world is now communicating. It's sad to see how people speak and sad to see how people interact with one another. So my subject, as you can see this afternoon, is our speech. Is it worthy or is it worthless? Ephesians 4:29 is the main verse that I'm looking to work with here this afternoon. It says, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear." I think Blake did an excellent job this morning, and it's sometimes funny to me how things tie in together. But I think he handled the subject of edification very, very well, and I agree with everything I heard said here this morning. And it's actually kind of nice because it gave me a little affirmation of what my thoughts were on it as I went through preparing this lesson. But there's two different things that I want to look at within the time that we're going to spend together. And one of it, what is our communication as Christians supposed to be like? And number two, what should our speech ultimately be used for? Over the past several months, I've been employed at a company that has a nationwide open office policy. And if you're not familiar with that term, I don't know how many of you are privileged enough to work in an environment such as this, and I don't necessarily know that I'm privileged. But what that essentially means is the office is open. There's no cubes, there's no dividers. Everyone can see everyone. Aside from a few of the higher powers, aside from the upper echelon of the company that are set off in their own little cubes or offices off the side, everyone is out amongst one another and can see, hear everything that goes on within the office. I don't necessarily have a problem with seeing things that are going on, and I can understand why they do it. The question that I asked when I first came in for the job interview was, why are there no cubes? I said, well, number one, it improves teamwork because it improves communication. I said, okay, that sounds about right. Sounds like that's a good idea. I'm all for that. Of course, you'll say about anything when you find a job that you really want to get. But it seems to me that the farther and farther I've gone along within this work situation, the more and more I grow to dislike the open office policy, I guess you could say. Because over the past few months, given the nature of the people I work with, given the nature of the industry that I'm in, I've become more and more aware of the poor interaction, the poor communication, the poor speech that people have with one another. And for just for a moment, I want to bring to your attention this great little device here. I'm sure we all know what this is. There's probably about 50 of them in this room. But this device here was marketed and developed for one sole purpose. It was to improve our ability to communicate with one another. And given that these things are everywhere, we have many, many opportunities to overhear things, to see people walking up and down the street. Within the office now, not only do you have people on the phone, people talking on the email, but now you've got people walking around with a cell phone in their hand, walking from place to place, fielding the phone call on the cell phone, and fielding the phone call on their desk. When we've got an open office of policy, it's amazing the things that you get to hear, even though you don't really want to be hearing them. We simply have no communication barriers now within the workplace, within our homes, being on in a car, a train, a plane, a boat. There's essentially no places you can go within this world at this point in time that you cannot have communication with somebody. And more importantly, where you can't hear someone else's communication. And I think there's some things that we can learn from that. So the bottom line, when I give those two examples, so what's my point? Conversations, personal interactions, the avenue to allow them are all around us. And I believe we hear more things this day and age than ever before. I don't have any proof for that, but I've just noticed how much louder the world has gotten as I've gotten into it and as I've seen these things develop just through my professional career and things. It's astounding to me how many more things that I hear now. Because there are simply no restrictions on communication, and there's nowhere you can go where you can't find someone either having a conversation or getting ready to engage in a conversation. And when you couple that with individual with little verbal discretion, it is amazing what you can hear. And all the open office policies and cell phones in the world will never truly solve the real problem. While these things are all about making communication better, I think they fall short of solving the actual problem. They succeed in the fact that calling someone has never been easier. You just pick up your cell phone, flip it open, dial the number, and you've got your friend on the other end of the line. Walking around the cubes trying to find something that you're looking for that never seems to be at their desk, never been easier with the open office policy. You can always find who you're looking for. But true communication, how we speak with one another, how we interact with one another, and the purpose with which we do it, continues to decline all around us, at least in my opinion. Every day we're subject to inappropriate, lewd, simply worthless communication, simply because the conversation is all around us. And the world continues to grow increasingly loose with what proper civil communication really is. And I think it is important for us as Christians to recognize that while we may be over in the corner with someone else, because these rules don't necessarily apply to just those out there, they don't just apply to the fact that we're the ones listening. It also applies to us when we're speaking, when we're engaged in these activities as well. Those in close proximity to us, those passing by us on the street, can still hear the things that we say. And we carry with that a huge responsibility to not put a stumbling block in anyone else's way. Because the things we say, either directly or indirectly, are heard. The person that you're on the other end of this phone with isn't necessarily the only person that's hearing what you're saying on it. When you're walking up and down the street, everyone else within close earshot is going to hear exactly what you have to say. And again, that carries great responsibility with it. So what is our communication as Christians supposed to be like? Again, Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to those who hear. I want to spend just a bit of time talking about the first part of this verse because I think it's definitely noteworthy, but I don't want to spend a lot of time on it because I think we all know what unwholesome or some of your translations might interpret as corrupt language. When I hear the word unwholesome, I immediately go the opposite, and I think Leave It to Beaver, I think Richie Cunningham from Happy Days. People that are just on the straight and narrow, everything's great, everything's fine, nothing's offensive, nothing is out of place. But what usually comes to mind when people read the word unwholesome or corrupt language is going to be your cussing, your swearing, your cursing, some people call it, whatever you want to label it as. But I think if you ask 100 people the first thing that came to mind when they heard the word corrupt, I think 99% you'd get politician. That's the first word that would come out of their mouth. And why do we associate that word with politicians? Because we are often skeptical of their true motives and the apparent lack of concern they have for others. Oftentimes, politicians are found not to be looking for the best interests of the people that they've swore that they would. They're looking out for their own. And I think that definitely it can be applicable here when you talk about unwholesome or corrupt language. Because I think when you use those sorts of terms, when you use the swear words, when you use the cuss words, when you use the curse words, when you're using words that are derived out of ill intentions, when you're using words that are demoralizing words, that are lies, possibly even slanderous, you're not looking out for someone else's best interest. Most of the time, it's either out of just strict immaturity or it's just out of the fact that you just don't know any better. Or you have some sort of a personal motive behind that. All of these things are corrupt communication. When you get down to it, you've got obscene, immoral language, and I think you can even throw gossip under at least this umbrella here. Because at the root of all these things, you've got essentially one thing. You've got sin, and that's cut and dry. There's no question about that. What you've got at the beginning of that is sin. And as our speech is to have none of these things within them. When we use communication of unwholesome or corrupt nature, it doesn't benefit anyone around us. If anything, it tears others down and pushes them farther away from the Lord. Godly speech, or worthy speech, as I'm going to deem it for this lesson, and communication is uncorrupted and pure. If we are truly uncorruptible seed, as in 1 Peter the second chapter, our speech should reflect that to the best of our abilities. Our speech is to be wholesome. But number two, when we talked about this morning in the class of Blake, use only such a word or communication as is good for edification. Now, when I hear the word edification, my mind automatically goes back to what we deem as mutual edification. And I'm not really sure as to why that is, but that's just what I've always associated as. And we talked about this morning, and Blake brought out, it's not a word that you typically hear out in the world. You don't hear it very often because it's a word that the world simply just doesn't use. But when Paul writes this here, does it mean that everything we say needs to have a deep spiritual undertone or message? Now, I don't think that's the case at all. However, I do think the things that we say and the conversations that we have should have a point to them. They should have a direction, and that direction shouldn't lead the subject matter of the nation that we just talked about, the unwholesome and the corrupt language. If we are to pick a direction with our speech, it should be gearing our speech towards telling others about Christ, because that's ultimately what we're here for, isn't it? Building them up in and towards Christ. I appreciated Jeff's question this morning in class, because that's basically the area where I'm going to. I think we do have the ability to edify those that are outside of Christ. We have the ability to build others up within life and to build them up towards a godly future. You can tell a lot about people and what they're into by what they talk about. Those are the things that I'm into. Those of you probably already knew that because that's typically what I spend the majority of my time talking about. But if we never talk about Christ, if that's my list of things that I talk about day in and day out, and I leave Christ out, or he plays this position on my list, how often time do you think we're going to talk about those things? Just something for you to think about, because I've thought about it a lot. And it's hard to do because we live in a social society where if you aren't talking about the latest, greatest thing, if you're not talking about the hippest, trendiest, in thing, you're going to stick out. And it's difficult falling into that worthless communication that goes on day after day after day. I'm sure all of you, if you really stopped to take the time, you'd be amazed at the useless, worthless conversation that goes on around you every single day. And if you looked even a little harder, you might even find more worthless communication than you might even be engaging in yourself. And it is worthless, and because there is no profitable measure that comes from it. We are social beings by design, and I think to a certain degree that hinders us spiritually and in our Christian walk because we want to fit in. We always want to, we don't want to stick out. It just doesn't feel right to stick out. And I don't think anybody here is going to disagree with me on that statement when I say that. It's not fun to stick out. But as Christians in a world that's continuing to go into a moral decline, I think it's going to be good for us to stick out. If we're sticking out, then we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We have to keep in mind that the words we are to speak are to be for edification. The world should build up, not tear down. They should strengthen, not weaken. Through our speech, our communication, we can edify those around us, building them up, furthering the word of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Ecclesiastes 10:12 reads, words from the lips of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. I think we all know somebody like this, don't we? We all know people on both sides of the fence. We've got the guys that it seems like every time they say something, you probably want to listen to it because you're going to get some morsel of knowledge or wisdom out of it. And then you've got those people out there that you engage with every single day that it's never anything important and it's never anything that you really need to worry about. This is what I did last weekend, Darren. This is what I'm going to do this weekend, Darren. That's fine and great if he's going to do the things he needs to be doing. But if they're engaging in activities that are unwholesome and corrupt, chances are you're also hearing language that are unwholesome and corrupt, ideas that are unwholesome and corrupt. We need to take the opportunity to let our mind control our tongue and not let society control our tongue. In the next part of the verse, in Ephesians 4:29, Paul writes that the words we speak should be according to the need of the moment. Now, depending on the translation that you've got, the wording here may be a bit different. And actually, I kind of jumped ahead of myself. I read through all the main versions, all the main translations, and I came across that the New King James is the only translation that puts that word necessary into the phrasing ahead of edification. And I think that serves two purposes. Number one is we need to be built up. I think one of the main reasons that the church was created is for the fact that we need to be here. We need to be edified by one another. We need to be gathered with one another. And if we aren't with one another, we can't be built up by one another. Because the world's going to set out to tear us down. Being built up is necessary for us. And the interaction and the communication we have with others can be good for us mentally, physically, and most importantly, spiritually. We carry a great responsibility both to those within the body and to those outside of the body to be positive, uplifting, edifying people, carrying the seed of our Lord Jesus Christ out into the field, giving the assurance of the promise that has been given to us, telling others of the sacrifice that Christ has given to us and reflecting the love that Christ shows us. We have some great examples of those type of people in amongst us. And there's other of us that might need to do a little bit of work there, a little bit of polishing. Third thing that our speech is supposed to be is timely. How many of you have ever gone an extended period of time without talking? Or only talking when you really think it's necessary? I tried it one day at work and my boss wasn't happy with me when I wasn't answering my calls. But it's just simply tough to do because we get caught up in the things around the office. We get caught up in the conversations around the water cooler. We get caught up in the conversations off to the side. We get caught up with conversations with our friends. And I'm not saying that these things are all bad. I'm not saying that all conversation is bad. But I am saying that we can't allow ourselves to be distracted by worthless talk and worthless communication. We may be missing the opportunity when we're doing that to have worthy conversation, worthy communication with someone about the Lord. 2 Timothy 2, Paul writes, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. When you set out to talk to someone, when you set out to speaking with someone, what is the role that you are taking on? And of course, you know, when we're in our professional work situations, you can't always interject things of a spiritual nature. But when you're having those side conversations, what's your motivation? Who are you in service to at those point in time? When you speak, are you in active service, and to whom? Because we can simply not afford to become entangled in the things of this world. If we want to worry about every single thing that's going on in this world, make sure that we have a conversation with everyone that comes up and wants to have a conversation with us about what's going on within this world, you're going to have a line out the door, and chances are you're going to spend a lot of wasted time. But we need to be aware of the things that are going around us, both the good and the bad, and we need to stay away from the corruptible and wholesome words, both our own and of others, and look for the opportunity to share the word of our Father with others. Again, in 2 Timothy, Paul writes, "Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season." In Colossians 4:6, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were, with salt, so that you may know how to respond to each person." If we've got the right answer, if we know and we've already planned out what we need to say to somebody when we're asked a certain question or when a certain conversation comes up, if we've already decided within ourselves what our answers are going to be, we'll be ready and we'll be able to respond accordingly. Because we simply need to be ready at all times. We need to recognize the opportunities we have and approach them with the right heart, the right mind, and the right attitude. And the words we use should be the proper words. So what should our speech ultimately be used for? Closing out this verse, Ephesians 4:29, that it may give grace to those who hear. I think oftentimes we forget how the words we use affect others around us. Not only necessarily the words that we use, but the attitude, the underlying tone that we have when we say things that we say. Because language to me is contagious. It's just like a yawn or it's just like a cold. The more times we're exposed to something, the more likely we are to become infected by it. Either good or bad. When you're around people that don't use poor language, when they've got a point to the things that they say, when they just don't talk just to hear themselves talk, chances are you're going to become more like them. But if you surround yourself with people who use foul language and who gossip and who simply just take all their time in the day just to talk about everything that they feel like talking about, you run a great risk of falling into that. Because ultimately what our words are supposed to do is to bring others towards Christ. It's to bestow the grace that God has given to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. Reflect that onto others. I hope everyone has understood, you know, where I'm coming from with this, and I hope that in some measure you've understood it and you've been edified by my words. But it just seems to me that we're in really a moral crisis. The world seems to be moving in the opposite direction that we are, and I think that's pretty plain and clear to most likely everybody here. And the moral collapse of those around us will most likely continue to erode over time. Hopefully not, but just within my lifetime, as I said, I've seen things getting worse. Those of you who are older than me can probably tell an even greater difference in the things that you've seen and the things that are going on in society now. Getting back to the open office policy and the cell phones, it is amazing to me the conversations that I hear every day. I wish that some of you could sit at my desk and listen to the conversations that I hear going on around me, and it is amazing how easy it is to pick up a word, and when you're short mentally trying to find that word, it's amazing how those words as you heard will just slip in. So that's just something that I want to caution you on. Because the things will stick in our mind. And if in a moment of immaturity or lack of self-control, that's when the things are going to root themselves within us, and that's when they're going to come out. So we've got to be careful about how we speak to others. We've got to be conscious of the fact that even though we might not necessarily be addressing all those around us, we've got to be conscious of the fact that there are others around us. And I fail at this probably more than anybody else here. I've let more slip than blades of grass out in our yard. We've got a big yard. And this lesson is as much for me as anybody else. I find that the best lessons, topics for me is just look in the mirror and go, okay, what's wrong? And that's pretty much what I did with this one. But we don't want to hear, we don't want to have people hear the bad things that we say. We don't want to use improper language. We don't want to use improper communication. We want to be edifying, uplifting people. I think that's what we're called to do. And I think that the biggest way that Christians are going to stand out in this time and into the future is simply by how we communicate and how we act and how we converse with one another and the words and the terminologies that we deem to use. So I ask you this question this afternoon. Is your speech worthy or is it worth less? Are your speech patterns worthy? Are they worth less? To be called a Christian, our speech needs to be worthy. And I hope I've given you a few things to think about as I close the lesson. It's certainly been good to be with you this afternoon and this morning. And if anyone out there has come to the realization that their life isn't what it needs to be, and the situations that they find themselves in isn't the situation that they know they need to be in, and that they realize that Jesus Christ is the Son of the true and one and only true living God, we ask that you do not wait. Make the decision to come forth, be baptized, become one of the chosen few. I ask that you do this as we stand and sing.